The thing was, the Herdmans didn't know anything about the Christmas story. They knew that Christmas was Jesus' birthday, but everything else was news to them. The shepherds, the wise men, the star, the stable, the crowded inn. It's hard to believe. At least it's hard for me to believe. Alice Wendelken said she didn't have any trouble believing it. How'd they find out about the Christmas story, she said. They don't even know what a Bible is. Look what Gladys did to that Bible last week. Yeah, well, while Imogene was snitching money from the collection plate in my class, Gladys and Ollie drew mustaches and tails on all the disciples in the primary grade illustrated Bible. They never went to church in their whole life till your little brother told them we got refreshments, Alice said. And all you ever hear about Christmas in school is how to make ornaments or out of aluminum foil. So how would they know about the Christmas story? She was right, of course. They might have read about it, but the only thing they ever read was Amazing Comics. Well, Mother began to read. Joseph and Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Pregnant! Yelled Ralph Herdman. Well, that stirred things up. All the big kids began to giggle. All the little kids wanted to know what's so funny, and Mother had to hammer on the floor with a blackboard pointer. That's enough, Ralph, she said, and went on with the story. I don't think it's very nice to say Mary was pregnant, Alice whispered to me. Yeah, but she was, I pointed out. In a way, though, I agreed with her. It sounded too ordinary. Anybody could be pregnant. Great with child sounded better for Mary. Well, shut up, they would say. I couldn't believe it. Among other things, the Herdmans were famous for never sitting still and never paying attention to anyone. Teachers, parents, their own or anybody else's, the truant officer, the police. Yet there they were, eyes glued on my mother, taking in every word. What's that? They'd yell whenever they didn't understand the language. And when Mother read about there being no room at the inn, Imogene's jaw dropped. She sat up on her seat. My God, she said. Not even for Jesus? Well, I saw Alice purse her lips together, so I knew that's something else Mrs. Wendelken would hear about swearing in the church. Well, now, after all, Mother explained, nobody knew the baby was going to turn out to be Jesus. You said Mary knew, Ralph said. Why didn't she tell him? I would have told him, Imogene put in. Boy, would I have told him. What was the matter that Joseph he didn't tell him? Her pregnant and everything, she grumbled. What was that they laid that baby in? Leroy said. That manger? Is that like a bed? Why would they put that bed out there in the barn? Well, that's just the point, Mother said. They didn't have a bed in the barn. So Mary and Joseph had to use whatever there was. What would you do if you had a new baby and no bed to put the baby in? We put Gladys in the bureau drawer, Imogene volunteered. Well, there you are, Mother said, blinking a little. You didn't have a bed for Gladys, so you had to use something else. Oh, we had a bed, Ralph said. Only Ollie's still in it, and he wouldn't get out. He didn't like Gladys. He elbowed Ollie. Remember how you didn't like Gladys, Ollie? I thought that was pretty smart, Ollie, not to like Gladys right off the bat. Anyway, Mother said, Mary and Joseph used the manger. Manger's a large wooden feeding trough for animals. What were them wadded-up clothes? Claude wanted to know. The what? Mother said. You read about it. She wrapped him in them wadded-up clothes. Swaddling clothes, Mother sighed. Long ago, people used to wrap their babies very tightly in big pieces of material, so they couldn't move around. It made the babies feel cozy and comfortable. I thought it probably just made the babies mad. Till then, I didn't know what swaddling clothes was either, and they sounded terrible. So I wasn't too surprised when Imogene got all excited about it. You mean to tell me they tied him up, put him in a feed box, she said. Where was the child welfare? Well, the child welfare was always checking up on the Herdmans. I'll bet if the child welfare had ever found Gladys all tied up in the bureau drawer, they would have done something about it. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, Mother went on, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And Shazam! Gladys yelled, flinging her arms out and smacking the kid next to her. What? Mother said. Mother had never read Amazing Comics. Out of the black night with a horrible vengeance, the mighty Marvo. I don't know what you're talking about, Gladys, Mother said. This is the angel of the Lord who comes to the shepherds in the fields and out of nowhere, right? Gladys said. In the black night, right? Well, Mother looked unhappy in a way. So Gladys sat back down looking very satisfied as if this was at least one part of the Christmas story that made sense to her. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Mother went on reading, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, that's you, Leroy, Ralph said, and Claude and Ollie, y'all pay attention. So what does it mean, wise men? Ollie wanted to know. Were they like school teachers? No, dumbbell, Claude said. Means like the President of the United States. Mother looked surprised and a little pleased, like she did when Charlie finally learned the times tables up to five. "Was very close, Claude. Actually, there were kings." "Well, it's about time," Imogen muttered. "Maybe they'll tell the innkeeper where to get off and get that baby out of the barn." They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, and presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. "What's that stuff?" Leroy wanted to know. "Precious oils," Mother said, "and fragrant resins." "Oil?" Imogen hollered. "What kind of a cheap king runs around handing out oil for a present? You get better presents from the fire department." Sometimes the Herdman's got Christmas presents at the fireman's party, but the Santa Claus always had to feel around all the packages to be sure they weren't getting bows and arrows or dart guns or anything like that. Imogen usually got sewing cards or jigsaw puzzles. She never liked them, but I guess she figured they were better than oil. Then we came to King Herod, and the Herdmans never heard of him either. So Mother had to explain that it was Herod who sent the wise men to find the baby Jesus. "Was it him that sent them crummy presents?" Ollie wanted to know. And Mother said it was worse than that. He planned to have the baby Jesus put to death. "My God," Imogen said. "He just got born already. They had to kill him." The Herdmans wanted to know all about Herod, what he looked like and how rich he was and whether he fought wars with people. "He must have been the main king," Claude said, "if he could make the other three do what he wanted to do." "If I was king," Leroy said, "I wouldn't let some other king push me around." "You couldn't help it if you was the main king." "Well, I'd go be king somewhere else." They were really interested in Herod, and I figured they liked him. He is so mean he could have been their ancestor, Herod Herdman. But I was wrong. "Who's going to be Herod in his play?" Leroy said. "Well, we don't show Herod in our pageant," Mother said. And they all got mad. They wanted somebody to be Herod so they could beat up on him. I couldn't understand the Herdmans. You'd have thought the Christmas story come right out of the FBI files. They got so involved in it, wanted a bloody end to Herod, and worried about Mary having her baby in a barn, and called the wise men a bunch of dirty spies. They left the first rehearsal arguing about whether Joseph should have set fire to the inn or just chased the innkeeper into the next county. In this next part, we are going to go almost directly to the play. There is another rehearsal, and there's some really funny things that happen. But because of the time allotment, we're going to go ahead and go to the last part.
Mike, we're really enjoying it. And I think we can all identify with it. The kids over here who are 5 years old and 8 years old, and I'm 58 years old, but we can all remember those Christmas pageants and the practices for them and trying to pay attention and trying to figure out what it was all like, and the mischievous kids and the kids who were not so mischievous, as Mike Allen continues to tell us the story about the Herdmans.
On the night of the pageant, we didn't have any supper because Mother forgot to fix it. My father said it's all right. Between phone calls and pageant rehearsals, he didn't expect supper anymore. When they finally get to the church, and let me just kind of explain some things, the first thing that they have to do is the choir has to hum. And that one time, the year before, they had this one girl named Roberta Bottles whistle. And she whistled and whistled and whistled, but pretty soon she ran out of air and she passed out in the manger, so they couldn't do that anymore. So what they have to do, they are all humming, and they're humming Silent Night. And we're going to try to go from beyond that because it's kind of difficult to give you the whole thing without, you know, just getting some excerpts from it. Well, right away, we had to sing while shepherds watched their flocks by night. And we had to sing very loud because there were more shepherds than there were anything else. And they made so much noise banging their crooks around like a lot of hockey sticks. Next came Gladys, who, by the way, was the angel of the Lord. From behind the angel choir, pushing people out of the way and stepping on everyone's feet. Since Gladys was the only one in the pageant who had anything to say, she made the most of it. "Hey, unto you a child is born," she hollered, as if it was for sure the best news in the world. And all the shepherds trembled, sore afraid. Gladys mainly, but it looked good anyway. Then came three carols about angels. It took that long to get the angel choir in place because they were mostly primary kids, and they got nervous, and they cried, and forgot where they were supposed to go, and bent their wings, and, you know, kind of bashed each other in the eyes and everything. We got a little rest then while the boys sang We Three Kings of Orient Are. And everybody in the audience shifted around to watch the wise men march up the aisle. "What do they got?" Alice whispered. I didn't know, but whatever it was heavy. Leroy almost dropped it. He didn't have the frankincense jar either, and Claude and Ollie didn't have anything, although they were supposed to bring the gold and the myrrh. I knew this would happen, Alice said for the second time. I bet it's something awful.
Like what?
Like a burnt offering. You know those Herdmans. Well, they did burn things. But they hadn't burned this yet. It was a ham. And right away, I knew where it came from. My father was on the church charitable works committee. They gave away food baskets at Christmas. And this was the Herdman's food basket ham. It still had the ribbon around it, saying Merry Christmas. I'll bet they stole that, Alice said. They did not. It came from their food basket. If they want to give away their own ham, I guess they can do it. But even if the Herdmans didn't like ham, that was Alice's next idea. They had never before in their whole lives given anything away. Leroy dropped the ham in front of the manger. Looked funny to see a ham there instead of the fancy bath salts. And then they went and sat down in the only space that's left. While we sang "What Child Is This?" the wise men were supposed to confer among themselves and leave by a different door. But they didn't. And what happens here is that they just stand there, and Alice thinks they're running the whole thing. But if you stop and think about it, then maybe, you know, they'd come a long way. Maybe they needed to rest. Usually by the time we got to Silent Night, which was always the last carol, I was fed up with the whole thing and couldn't wait for it to be over. But I didn't feel that way this time. I almost wished for the pageant to go on with the Herdmans in charge to see what else was going to be different. Maybe the wise men would tell Mary about their problem with Herod, and she'd tell them to go back and lie their heads off, or Joseph might go with them to get rid of Herod once and for all. I was so busy planning new ways to save the baby Jesus that I missed the beginning of Silent Night. But it's all right, because everyone sang Silent Night, including the audience. We sang all the verses, too. And when we got to Son of God Loves Pure Light, I happened to look at Imogene, and I almost dropped my hymn book on a baby angel. Everyone had been waiting all this time for the Herdmans to do something absolutely unexpected, and sure enough, that was what was happening. Imogene Herdman was crying. In the candlelight, her face was all shiny with tears, and she didn't even bother to wipe them away. She just sat there, awful old Imogene, in her crookedy veil, crying and crying and crying. Well, it was the best Christmas pageant we ever had. Everybody said so, but nobody seemed to know why. When it was all over, people stood around the lobby of the church talking about what was different this year. There was something special, everyone said. They just couldn't put their finger on it. Well, Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a black eye. That was something special, Mrs. Wendelken said. But only what you might expect, she added. What she meant was the most natural thing in the world for a Herdman to have a black eye. From being clonked, maybe. Her eye wasn't really black, though. Imogene's, all puffy and swollen. She'd walked in the corner of the choir robe cabinet in a kind of daze, as if she'd just caught on to the idea of God and the wonder of Christmas. And this was the funny thing about it. For years, I'd thought about the wonder of Christmas and the mystery of Jesus' birth and never really understood it. But now, because of the Herdmans, it didn't seem so mysterious after all. When Imogene had asked me what the pageant was about, I told her it was about Jesus. But that was just part of it. It was about a new baby, and his mother and father were in a lot of trouble. No money, no place to go, no doctor, nobody they knew. And then arriving from the East, like my uncle from New Jersey, some rich friends. But Imogene, I guess, didn't see it that way. Christmas just came over all at once, like a case of chills and fever. And so she was crying and walking into furniture. Afterward, there were candy canes and little tiny testaments for everyone. And as my father snuffed out the last white candles, he said, I guess that's everything. Oh, we stood at the back of the church. All over now. It was quite a pageant. Then he looked at my mother. What's that you got? It's the ham, she said. They wouldn't take it back. They wouldn't take any candy either, or any of the little Bibles. But Imogene did ask me for a set of Bible story pictures.
And time has run out on us again, Mike. Thanks so much for sharing of yourself, not only with your students, but with your community as well. And thanks for helping us keep perspective on the many things that make this time of the year the favorite for many of us. And thank you for joining us today on a special edition of Heart of the Matter. I'm Max Highball.
The preceding program was pre-recorded for broadcast at this time and has been presented by Community Radio 1400 WIEL.